Unity.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. Hey, delayed reaction. Good morning. Hey, before we begin, we have a great morning planned. I'm excited about this morning and the opportunity that we have together, those of us who are here in person and, of course, those online as well. I'm excited about this morning. But before we do that, I wanted to say thank you. We did there was a little pastor appreciation moment last weekend with a kind of funny video. We're not repeating that again, but just also as a community, my wife and I and our family were blessed with a gift from you guys, and just thank you for that. That was just a really meaningful, really significant act of kindness and appreciation, and we're just really blessed by that. So for all those who are out there online, and there were some nice notes too and things like that, just thank you very much. We appreciate it, and we're really blessed by that. So thanks very much. Okay, so we're diving in this morning to a pretty special morning. We are in a season, of course, where people around us are split over many of the things that are going on, and that's what this series has kind of touched on. Over the last few weeks and months, really, at least on my end, I felt like the challenge or the call for us is to try and live above the fray, right? Instead of being caught up in the cares of this world or being focused on worldly things, we need to be living by and walking in the Spirit. Instead of allowing earthly issues to bring division among us as followers of Jesus, we need to seek to live on a higher plane, a spiritual plane, and allow that to influence how we live in this world. We need to strive also for unity, because God desires unity among us. We've talked about that in the beginning of this series. We talked about how our identity needs to be rooted in Jesus, and how we need to seek Scripture's authority on every single issue, each issue that we're looking at, regardless of our personal opinions or political affiliations, and that our focus needs to remain on the kingdom of God, seeking that and not being as concerned about this earthly realm. Now, all that being said, run the risk in doing that of leaving the impression that things going on around us really don't matter to God. And that's not true. That's not true. Of course he cares about what's happening in this world. He cares deeply, and we should care too. We shouldn't allow it to distract us from what's most important, but we should care. So this morning, we're going to spend some time in prayer regarding some of the issues that are going on in our world. We'll have four specific things that we're going to spend some time praying about and focusing in on. And I'll share a little bit about each one first and then give us a few minutes to be able to pray just personally regarding the issue. But before we do, I want to share my heart about this for this morning. My heart is that our time would be spent praying for things that we can and should be united over. Right? That's what's been my prayer this last week and a half or so as we kind of geared up for this week. I've been praying about how we should pray. I'm not asking you in this morning to just pray however you want. I mean, you can do that. I can't stop you, clearly. But I'm asking us as a community to pray in specific ways when it comes to the issues that are before us. I don't believe the things I'm asking you to pray for should be dividing us in any way. We should be able to be united in them. So instead of being split, what we want to be is united in prayer, right? United in prayer. That's our hope. That's our goal. That's our focus for this morning. So four specific areas. We're going to do two areas, and then we're going to move into a time. We'll do a worship song, and then we'll do a few more areas of prayer. So just kind of go with us on the journey this morning. But the first area that I want to ask us to pray for is this, to be united in prayer for our leadership. Right? Be united in prayer for our leadership. Now let me set the stage on how we want to do that. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3 says this, "First of all then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of our God, of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Right, so we're supposed to pray for our leadership. Now, when Paul wrote this, he knew that many of the rulers in his day were not good rulers. In fact, many of them were hostile towards Christians. Now, you may feel that about some of our current leaders, but we're told to pray for them. Now, before we pray for leadership on levels of our nation, again, I want us to be focused on praying for things that we can be united over. So, for instance, if I asked you to pray for this election, then statistically speaking, about half of you would be praying for Donald Trump, and the other half of you would be praying for Joe Biden, and a few trickled in on a third-party candidate. And then those prayers would, like, cancel each other out, because that's how it works, right? Obviously. Just kidding. It doesn't work that way. But I don't want us to be praying for what we think or we want to happen. I want us to pray for what the Lord wants to happen. Right? There's a pastor and author named Tony Evans, and he talked a little bit about this dynamic of, you know, different political parties and things like that. And he said this, Jesus didn't come to take sides. He came to take over. Right? Jesus didn't come to take sides. He came to take over. And that should be what we want. We want not for our side to win, but for Jesus to take over, ultimately. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately. Like, if I were to pray for a certain result, and I got what I wanted, but that result meant fewer people knowing Jesus, would that be the right prayer? I mean, would I be willing to set aside my agenda and take a loss? Maybe even want to lose? Because ultimately it would bring more people into the kingdom? Right? We don't know exactly how it's going to play out. The Lord does. But our prayer needs to be for what best accomplishes God's purposes and brings about his kingdom. Right? When the disciples came to Jesus, they asked him, like, "Look, Jesus, how should we pray?" Right? How should we pray? Matthew 6, 9 through 10, he said, "Pray like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Right? We know that. It's part of the Lord's Prayer, or the prayer for the disciples, the prayer for us. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's what we should want to see happen here on earth. So as we take a few moments and pray for this nation and the upcoming election, that's specifically what I'm going to ask you to pray for. It's something I believe we can be united in. For God's will to be done so that his kingdom would be more fully realized. Okay, we ought to be united in that. We should be able to be united in that in prayer. So that's how we're going to pray. I want to just invite you to take a few quiet moments and pray for God's will to be done, so that his kingdom would be more fully realized when it comes to this nation and its leaders and our election. So let's take a few moments and pray. Thank you. But God, we want to surrender our will to you in this, and we do pray for the leadership of this nation on all the different levels. This morning we ask for your will to be done, your kingdom come. Together we pray that that would be accomplished, because it's ultimately so much more important. So we surrender our will, our desires to you, and ask for you to have your way, and we trust you with what lies ahead. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So a second area that we're going to pray about is for healing. For healing. Another thing people are split about is like how we should be treating and dealing with COVID, right? Some would like to see things handled far more aggressively. Others are feeling like the measures we already have are an overreaction. A lot of people are somewhere in the middle. If you're like me, you go back and forth on the issue where you're sitting. So if I asked us to pray about COVID, maybe some of you would pray against those who keep going out in public without wearing masks. And other people would pray for those who are hunkered down and are living in fear. Right? Again, they cancel each other out. And no, we'd be split over that issue. We see that. It's going on all around us. But that's not what I'm going to ask us to pray about this morning. Right? What I want to ask you to do is look beyond your personal views on that. Look beyond the policy battle. Look beyond the political maneuvering. And this morning, let's be people of humility and compassion. Right? Pray for healing for those that need it. Right? We should be able to agree on that. We should be able to be united on that. David prays God for healing in the Psalms. In Psalm 30, verse 2, he says, "O Lord my God, I cried for help, and you have healed me. You have healed me." Interestingly, the Apostle John prayed for his friend Gaius, who was an elder in the faith. He prayed right into the letter that he wrote in 3 John 1 and 2. And he said, "I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." Right? We're supposed to pray for healing. There is a virus affecting our reality. And we have a few people who are part of this community or connected to this community that have been deeply affected by COVID and recovering or battling that. There are people who are getting sick, some of them seriously sick, and a number who are dying. Now, no, it's not the only virus or sickness or illness that's out there, but it's the most prominent thing, and it's certainly got our attention. It has for a long time now. But even for those who haven't gotten COVID, I mean, their physical and mental health is at stake as well. It's being affected by isolation and loneliness. Right? So I'm going to ask you to set aside your agenda about masks and social distancing and not focus there this morning, but let's pray for those who need healing in any capacity because of this. Instead of being hung up on how it's being handled this morning, let's ask God to put an end to the disease. You know he can do that, right? He can do that. I believe he can. At the same time, let's pray that if it's not his will to eliminate it, that he would use us to accomplish his purposes in the midst of it, and that he would use it to accomplish his purposes in the world. Right? And I know that's a lot, but again, let's pray for healing. And let's pray for the alleviation of the disease, but in a way that we are going to be surrendered to his will, not our own. Okay? So let's take a few moments and pray for healing and for the elimination of this disease. So a third area that we want to spend some time praying about this morning is the issue of justice, right? We want to be united in prayer for justice. Justice matters to God. He spoke to the people through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 1:17. He said, "Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause." Later on in chapter 61 of Isaiah, God said this, "I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong." And then in Amos 5, these verses, "Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you as you have said. Hate evil and love good and establish justice." And leave that up for a moment. Hate evil, love good, and establish justice. You know, the theme of seeking justice is reiterated over and over and over in Scripture. Justice in our nation these days is a source of tension. Now, if I asked you to pray for justice, I think some of you would pray for our police officers, and others would be praying for victims of brutality. It's hard to know exactly what to pull for when each case is often a tangled mess of injustice and wrong, often on both sides. We need to pray that true justice, justice that is reflective of the heart of God, would rule our land. That's perfect justice. His justice is perfect. Wherever there is injustice, wherever there is oppression, wherever there is wickedness on anyone's part, we're going to take a moment to pray that it would be replaced by true justice. Justice and righteousness that is in line with the heart and the Spirit of God. So let's take a moment to pray for justice in that spirit, that the justice and righteousness of God is what we would be seeing in our world and in our land. You love justice. You tell us that in your word. So we ought to love that too, but true justice, one that is in line and reflective of your heart, we pray collectively, united, that we would see this be a reality in our land. Help our hearts to be turned towards you, because a rule and a law is not going to change anything. We've seen that time and time again through Scripture and in our reality. More rules and laws aren't the answer, but a heart that is right with you. And we pray that we would have hearts right with you, that people would be turning to you, and that ultimately, as we live out your heart, your spirit, that justice would be seen in our land. Lift this before you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So the last thing that we want to pray for, actually it's two things combined. And this is more personal for us, I think, and less big picture than those issues. But the last area that we want to pray for is for hope and joy. Right? For hope and joy. Because with everything that's going on, a lot of people are questioning why God would allow things like this to happen, right? A lot of people are losing hope, including some of us who are followers of Christ. But we of all people should have the greatest hope. We of all people should have the greatest joy despite everything going on. I want you to hear the words of Peter in 1 Peter 1:3-9. This is what Peter writes, and this is an amazing passage, but he writes this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope." Right? We should have hope. "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And here's verse 8, and we can pull this one up. It says this, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy. That's like a big statement there. You rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Can we pray that God would fill us with that hope and that joy once again? I mean, I know a lot of us are struggling with that right now. But I think we can be united in saying we want to be filled with joy. We want to be filled with hope. And so let's pray and ask God to give it back, to renew that in us. Because it's hard to be in that place when there's so much doom and gloom going on around us. So let's ask God to restore us, restore this to us, in restoring our sense of hope and restoring our joy. And here's the thing is we can do that with confidence, knowing that it's something he wants us to have. Right? It's something he wants us to have. His word tells us that. And not only does he want us to have that for our own sake, but for the sake of the world around us. Isaiah 60, 1 through 2 says this, and it's reflected in the song we sang earlier in the day. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover all the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Right? The light that has come, the glory that will be seen upon us, that's Jesus. We have Jesus, who is the light. He brings us hope. He brings us joy, so that we also can be a light to those around us. Right? So let's pray for him to renew our hope, to renew our joy again, and to renew that hope and joy in his people everywhere, so that we can shine like a light in the darkness to the world around us. Let's take a moment and pray.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.